Good evening, folks. This is AMAD. Janice isn't around, so I've picked it up, and her guest has still joined us anyways. It's Vinny Eastwood, and I've had him on radio before. He's an awesome guy. He's down from down there at in New Zealand, and pretty much I think he's the only New Zealand radio broadcaster there is out there. Is that right, Vinny?
Certainly not the only one with a five-day-a-week radio broadcast and gets to talk to all the top American talking heads that you'd normally expect on InfoWars, yeah.
Do you want to give everybody a rundown of who you are just in case they don't know who you are? I know who you are.
But okay, well, you've heard of the phrase, he's one in a million. I'm one in 5 million. There's currently 5 million New Zealanders walking the earth today. I am the one who has the most popular, most frequent truth radio show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com Monday through Friday, which in New Zealand is Tuesday through Saturday, 5 till 7 Central Standard Time. That's 6 till 8 Eastern, 3 till 5 p.m. Pacific. And for New Zealanders, it's 10 a.m. through midday. But, of course, when the time zone changes, it goes like up to midday till 2 p.m., which is good because then I can actually, you know, get some sleep. Unfortunately, I don't really do that during the winter. As of right now, I'm pretty hyped up on coffee right now because I haven't had enough sleep, as you can probably tell.
Well, what, about 16 hours ahead of us?
Yeah, right now it's like 8 o'clock in the evening on the 8th of August.
So you're pretty much 24 hours ahead of me then.
I was talking about that's Eastern time, you know, so in New York right now they believe it's, you know, Thursday night, right?
Right.
In New Zealand, it's Friday afternoon.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying it was Friday night is what I thought you were saying. I'm sorry.
Well, it's Friday afternoon for me, and we're nearly a full day ahead of you. I think it's something along the lines of 22 hours, you know, which is good because when I broadcast live, it's from the future. So we give you up-to-date news and chronicles. There's a special section on the website where you can send in your lottery numbers. We'll check them for you. I joke, of course.
Oh, that's cute. I like that.
Now, also, in terms of New Zealand, the media here is... I guess shocking is the word that I would use. Shockingly inept, inadequate, foolish, incapable of covering anything to that is of importance. And if they do cover with importance issues, they glance over them rather than taking a deeper look. And I noticed this problem when I was sitting at home listening to what must have been hours upon hours of Alex Jones every day. Getting myself really angry and worked up and yelling at family, yelling at friends, calling people scum, getting in politicians' faces with my camera, asking them really tough and nasty questions. And it occurred to me that I had become New Zealand's alternative media. So I started this thing called Guerrilla Media with a friend of mine. Who the idea of guerrilla media, the real guerrilla media, there's an imitator out there and they are not to be trusted and they're complete psychopaths. Look at it this way. If your idea is good enough to steal, it must be a pretty freaking good idea, right? So here's the idea. There are a lot of activists out there who know how to speak, know how to research, can in some cases be profoundly good public speakers at protests with megaphones and so on and so forth. And my role in guerrilla media is to be what they can't be for themselves. So if they can't afford a giant megaphone with a wireless microphone, I turn up with that megaphone and that wireless microphone so that I can give amplification to their voice.
Right.
And if at the same time they don't have a cameraman to click on a Bluetooth wireless microphone to their lapel so you can record audio straight from the source from up to 100 feet away, I'm there with that technology. If they don't have people filming, I'm there to film. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And every single bit of equipment that I lend to the activists. I mean, like, I retain control of it, but what I do is I effectively use it so that A, everybody at the protest can hear what these important people are saying. B, when you're watching the video online, it's actually nice and crisply cut and high quality video, as well as high quality audio, so you know and can hear and are not put off by terrible sound quality and so on and so forth, so that people will actually want to listen to them more as they're speaking. Now, there is nobody else in New Zealand who comes even remotely close to the amount of news and information and protests and public meetings and coverage that I do. Nobody comes even within a hair's breadth. Not in this country. Internationally, I'm pretty, I would say, up and coming.
You do pretty good internationally.
Yeah, but still, like, I'm with the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's in the top million websites in the world. Which is not pretty bad.
No, that ain't bad at all.
But you have a look at things like DavidIke.com, who's like 1,600. Or you have a look at InfoWars, that is like at, I think they're in the top 100 websites or something like that in America, like top 70 or whatever. It's just massive, gargantuan. So if you have a look at what I've done for New Zealand on the New Zealand perspective alone, sure, I'm doing really well and getting the word out there, publishing hours of video per day. That's no exaggeration there. There's that much video going up on my YouTube channel per day that basically, if you tried to watch everything that I can make in a day, you'd spend a lot of time looking at and listening to me, because that's how much content I produce every day of the week.
What's your YouTube channels?
It's Mr. News Guerrilla Media. It's a bit of a long-winded one. I've got to change that. But basically, if you just search Vinnie Eastwood on YouTube, it'll come up with my channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media. Not that difficult to find. And it's Vinnie Eastwood, like Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood as in, go ahead, make my news. And I do something very different to what I see the vast, almost entirety of the truth movement talk radio show hosts do. I mean, they'll occasionally have a few laughs. They'll occasionally tell a joke or something. They'll occasionally be a little bit silly or play with words. But the bulk of the time, it's extremely serious. So me, like the Joker of the truth movement, almost, I take the little plan and I turn it on its head. There's got to be some way of balancing this equation between serious and comedy, because I understand that having a few laughs, having nice conversations with people, even if you're not even part of the conversation, can be extremely uplifting for people, and it helps to remind them that they're still alive and that stuff ain't that bad. Even when everything crumbles all around you, if you've still got your sense of humor, you will still retain your sanity.
Okay, you have to have a slight sense of humor or a dark sense of humor to be involved in this type of business.
See, you need a slight sense of humor, but for me, I need an uproarious consistency sort of sense of humor, if you know what I mean. Look, I get told every day about how different entities are trying to possess me and take over my body and kill me and enslave other people, and psychopaths that have created banking schemes and vaccine schedules and fluoride in the water and the chemtrails in the sky and so on and so forth, and the Fukushima radiation contaminating all the local fish that we eat. And so, it's endless, okay? It's frickin' endless. Every single day I'm being told about a new way that which I'm going to be in which I'm going to die and be exterminated. And the only thing that any of these things that are killing me and exterminating me have in common is that I'm alive when I hear about them. And it's an infuriating existence. And so, if you can find some levity, you know, like I think Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator said it best, your levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death. And I believe this is an important lesson for all people, is that, you know, the most important lesson I've actually ever been taught by anybody is by the editor of this magazine called Natural Medicine, the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine. And what the editor, Catherine Smith, who wrote the Cancer Prevention Handbook here in New Zealand, she said to me, you know, Vinny, you can't take yourself too seriously. And you can't take what other people say about you personally. And I was like, wow, that's some really short, concise, and really profound advice.
It definitely is.
George Norrie, I asked him a question. You know how George Norrie never gets into angry fits of rage? He's never upset. He never insults anybody. Have you noticed that?
I don't think I ever heard him insult anybody.
You know, he's totally freaking just cool like that. You know, he never gets on anybody's bad list for too long because he just really doesn't do anything bad to anybody. He's retained, despite being the second most popular radio show host in America with 29 to 35 million listeners a night, retains this very down-to-earth, kind quality about him, who can kind of get along with anybody. And I asked him, how do you do that? How do you get to such a level as you have done based upon the enormous amount of work under your belt, in some cases doing 8 hours of radio today for per day for 6 months while he was hosting for Art Bell and also hosting a show in St. Louis. How does he get like that and still retain that, you know, approachability factor? And he says, you have to talk to the people. Everywhere I go, everything that I'm doing is about just talking to the people. If you want to stay in touch with them, if you don't want to say that you're so much better than everybody else and therefore stop showing them any respect, if you don't want to turn into that very monster that you got into this business to slay, you've got to consistently talk to and listen to the people. And this is something that I aspire to be, somebody like George Norrie, who is that accepting, that capable, and also that so much in control of his own voice and force of verb, is he that he can retain a gargantuan listenership and have enormous amounts of influence, whilst at the same time putting out into, for lack of a better term, a virtually mainstream audience, such obscenely, ridiculously underground whistleblower alien slash crazy as stuff that would otherwise really not get out there.
Sounds like my show.
Yeah. And this is the situation as radio show hosts that I believe we should attempt to emulate those people who have done far considerably more than us and better than us. Not only try and emulate that in order to learn from it so that we can be the best radio show host and or person or whatever the hell your game is. If you're hanging around with people who are lesser than you, you're not going to learn anything off them, are you? They're all going to learn off you. So right. If you start seeking out people who are better than you at everything, and that's every single one of my friends and colleagues that I still maintain in contact with, the reason why I'm still in contact with them is because I believe they're better at me than something. And I don't want to be around people who are just, well, frankly, totally beneath me, you know, who have no value to contribute whatsoever. There's a lot of these people, negative, backstabbing, energy vampire, you know, borderline our contact entity type stuff. You know, that kind of stuff just doesn't jive with me, man.
Full of a lot of people like that.
Well, it's because it's one of the power centers. Okay, right. The reason talk radio exists and is so popular is because it's incredibly effective. Simply listening to the sounds of your voice or my voice, words have so much power. And having the ability to shove so many words into an hour bears a responsibility so that your community becomes sweet rather than sour.
Very true. Words are very powerful, and That's one thing I myself, when I'm conducting an interview, usually I let the person I'm interviewing speak 95% of the time.
Yeah. Occasionally I spill over that 5%. And occasionally, in fact, there was this one time when we had on Patty Greer, I think. She was a lady who goes around lying in UFO crop circle. Very interesting woman. And I think Sarah comes in with a piece of paper, you know, she just rips something off an envelope that we got from the bank or something and just quickly doodled it in pen and just, you know, opens the door, comes in here and slams it down on my desk. Let your fucking guest speak. got your own in-studio producer here, bro. The missus, she'll keep me on point. You know, it's funny when stuff like that happens. And what's also strange is that there's this dude named Kim.com. I don't know if you've heard about this, brother. So see, this is one of the interesting things about New Zealand that a lot of Americans don't get. In fact, Americans in general, I think like 1 in 7 has a passport or can locate America on the world map. I forget which. So that. Yeah. Yeah, the geography in the American public is somewhat fuzzy. And this is a result of the many dumbing down principles that the United States government has been operating on for some frickin' time. and they're incredibly effective. But anyway, Kim.com comes from Germany. He's the guy of megaupload.com, okay? You can watch movies on there, things like that. People can upload files that are gargantuan onto it. And in fact, what was happening is a whole bunch of really big mainstream bands, including the Black Eyed Peas, were going to sign with Mega Upload so that instead of selling CDs into a record company and things like that, where you get a 1%, if you're lucky, cut of all the other BS crap that these scum load onto this. You know, the music industry, the music business is not about the music anymore.
It's about
business.
Yeah.
And what Kim.com was doing is he was giving these people like a 65% share or more. He threatened to undermine the entire movie industry and the entire music industry by being an entrepreneurial genius. So naturally, the John Key, Prime Minister of New Zealand, who used to work for the Federal Reserve Bank in New York for 2 years as the head of European bond and derivatives, as Merrill Lynch's representative, has shares in Bank of America. See what I'm saying here?
Right.
32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. He comes in and he goes to Hollywood to meet all these studio execs. He comes back after that weekend away, and suddenly Kim.com has a knock at his door. It's a police officer. And the police officer's just checking in on him and then seeing how things are. And he's like, oh, come in, you know, this is my house. Shows him everything. And the next day, the very next day, 70 police, dogs, helicopters, assault rifles, black clad gear, the whole works, descend on his mansion. Take him away. There's a 70 page warrant that they use for entry. 70 pages of
70
fraudulent
pages long.
Okay, if you're looking at a warrant, you'd be lucky if there's one page.
Yeah.
1.5 pages for a very, very horrific criminal. 70 pages? These are all allegations. All of them lies. Fraud, mismanagement, so on and so forth. You know, I don't know the full details. But it's bad. Very bad. Bad enough that no judge would be able to look at the 70-page warrant and go, okay, I'm not going to issue this warrant because there's just not enough evidence. There's just too much evidence to look over. So surely it must, you know, just give him a warrant anyway. And it turns out John Key was even surveilling Kim.com before this raid even happened. All right? The guy's barking for the wrong side. They confiscate his money, freeze his bank accounts, steal his assets. the whole thing. Okay, we're talking about a multi-millionaire. And they hold him without justification, saying he's a flight risk. He's not a flight risk. You froze all his money.
Can't go anywhere anyways.
You know, it's just a huge frickin' mess. And now what the government's doing is they're pushing through this this legislation called the GCSB bill. Now, GCSB is a government scumbaggery surveillance pieces of Shiite Muslim department, I believe is what the anagram is. And what they're going to do is do precisely what the NSA wants them to do. The NSA, which in Mexico is pronounced the NSA, it has offices in the GCSB building in New Zealand's capital, Wellington. It's because they're the guys running the show. You know about the New World Order, right? You know about these global surveillance system. You know, word up. And here we go, implementing exactly what the NSA wants, to spy on all New Zealanders, no warrants, thing, anything. And of course, they'll be the only ones who have access to this, and they already have a similar system in England, which is commonly known as the blackmail network of surveillance, okay? CIA did it back in the 60s and 70s and things like that, when foreign dignitaries and what have you were visiting New York to go to a UN meeting or something of that nature. They would have safe houses with two-way mirrors and cameras and microphones all hooked up, and they'd have their mind-controlled sex slaves and things like that seduce these people and wind up doing very naughty things with them indeed, and ingesting substances and what have you, so that they could record everything that they were doing and then use it for political blackmail.
Blackmail, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Easiest way to control somebody is through sex.
Yeah. That's why a woman can make men fall in love with them, but men can't make women fall in love with them. That's because women control the sex. Or at least in an ideal world they should be. And this is the this is the unfortunate element of rape and scumbaggery that we find ourselves in our day-to-day life, isn't it? You know? There's a hell of a lot of abuse going down in this entire society. People like Kim.com are just an expression of this entirety of this syndrome. We've got a one-world government, one-world surveillance system. Just that alone means there's no freedom for anybody to speak out against any form of scumbaggery that goes in conflict with what the alleged people's elected government says. Which means you have no rights. You have no free speech. You got nothing. You won't even be able to raise your kids the way you want. You won't even be able to live where you want.
Yeah, you hardly have that right here now. They're taking that pretty much away, raising your kids.
Yeah. Raising kids has become very expensive.
How much under surveillance is the average person there? As in cameras here and there, and
they're starting to ramp them up. They're only just starting to install those red light cameras, which in the US are unconstitutional. New Zealand doesn't even have a constitution. You got to love that. It's just the frog in the boiling pot, sense of the word, you know, it's just ramping up, getting worse and worse and worse every single day. Our traffic officers aren't even sworn officers, bro. You know that?
They're not even peace officers?
They're not even peace officers. They're just traffic cops, which have about as much authority over you as any average security guard. The problem is they're covered in these things called uniforms that say police on them, so you assume that they actually have the right to arrest you, so you're afraid of them, so that they can start manipulating you stuff and accepting things and intimidate you into taking their frickin' fraudulent parking tickets!
God.
And then they had a big controversy and said, oh my God, no, we've actually, these are unsworn officers, and people need to know that. Yeah.
Unsworn?
Yeah,
that means they're not there to uphold anything.
Yeah, I mean, but ironically, when they're handing out traffic tickets, they do get sworn at. and there's a great article in the paper that says we need to be able to distinguish these sworn from unsworn cops. Now, the sworn officers wear blue. So they say, okay, well, we need to make these unsworn officers less intimidating and less authoritative. So let's give them black uniforms.
Man.
And I
got to remember that sworn at one now. Yeah. That one's got me. I was choking her just a second ago over that one.
Right, my bad. And what else is happening now? The police did 2 years, okay? There's a two-year investigation on getting different kinds of pants for the police force, all right? Like, currently, they all have to be dry cleaned. You know, they're that kind of pants. And so they managed to get some new sort of semi-polyester cotton pants that they could machine wash. And it took them 2 years to figure out what kind of pants would be appropriate. Now, that is how hard the police service in New Zealand really works. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how long it takes you to figure out what kind of pants you want to put on in the morning, but 2 years might be a bit long, you know.
Well, the police officers here wear a uniform, and they have to go to a uniform supply shop to get them.
You know, I think we need to change the uniform into a unitard because that means that the person wearing the uniform should be seen as a retard, hence a unitard.
Yeah, well, I know here they don't take people who score real, real high on the test because they're the ones that will question the authority, will question their orders.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't take that top A student. They'd rather have that C or D student because they're more apt to take orders.
Imagine for a moment that you live in a country, the United States, and every single thing that seems to be, you know, concurrent with the methodology of scumbaggery is precisely copied and mirrored here in New Zealand. You got tyrannical cops, right, that are like riped up on steroids and they got IQ limits that are lower so that you'll only really have rudimentary morons sitting out there so that they don't go nuts when they're sitting in cars and wondering about their life while they're pulling over people that are on food stamps and stuff like that, a $700 fine for riding around in a car, which is their only transport with their three kids that they can't feed now because they're going to pay a $700 fine that you just gave them.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense.
Have you got drug enforcement officers that basically just take the drugs and then sell them to the gangs and then use the gangs to commit hits on political activists that are exposing their corruption and so on and so forth? Yeah, we got that going. Have you got huge, massive pedophile rings and things of that nature that masquerade under three or four letters that basically are just there to steal children, sell them into the sex trade, and rape them, whilst at the same time maintaining an image that what they're there to do is protect them? Yeah, we got that too. You got massive surveillance states apparatus going on where they surveil every single thing that you do, every phone call you make, every text message you send, every email, every Skype call, so on and so forth is all plugged into some god-awful central database that's synced up to satellites and radio and TV and so on and so forth so that they monitor and control and record every single damn thing that is going on. So if anybody comes too close to the truth, they get bumped off, usually by some kind of accidental death or maybe the suicide of themselves. Yeah, we got that too. You got some kind of banker-funded puppet leading your country and telling everybody that he's really anti-war when he just creates more wars and winds up, instead of getting rid of the lobbyists, he appoints a heck of a lot more lobbyists. Have you got... It could go on for a long, long time. It's the same. That's what Americans have got to realize, is that you're not alone in this fight against the New World Order. And I see a lot of Americans thinking this way because they don't know the world. And there's very few people like me that actually know the local situation and can really relay that to an American audience. And that's really, really sad because there are people in this country who are very, very well up with the play with what's going on in America, and it's the very reason why we've joined this movement in the first place, is because we want to help, We want to expose and destroy the New World Order and restore the Republic, too.
Amen.
Now, Janice.
We've been joined by the host, and I'll just be quiet and sit back here.
Hey, I'm so sorry, you guys. I had quite a day with a friend of mine getting in a serious car accident, and my whole day got totally turned around.
Let me tell you something.
I'm so sorry.
you arrived and came on air at 12:33.
Is that good?
Oh, 33 is an interesting number for me.
Yeah? And it's happening on 8-8. It's 8:33 here. Please, my apologies, my very, very strong apologies. How far have you gotten into the show? Have you explained who you are and what you're doing, Vinny?
To a large degree, yeah. And I was still in the middle of it.
Don't let me stop. Please keep going.
Wanted to welcome you to the show and ask you how your day was, and you've told us that, and we've corroborated the 33 factor. In fact, every time I see the number 33 now on my web browsers or on films, or if I see Masonic symbolism and so on and so forth, I take little screenshots or do little audio recordings on them. Got a couple from Superman the other day, the new Superman movie, Man of Steel, and guess how long he'd been living on Earth before people started to wonder who he was and came out as Superman. That's right, 33 years.
Sounds like Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Didn't they say he lived 33 years before he was killed?
Oh, yeah. The number 33 is remarkably important. There's some kind of like distance or circumference of the sun, or like there's 33 times quadrat whatever of the Earth's width is like the sun's width or something like that. You know, there's all bunches of crazy little coincidences and synchronicities that go on with that thing.
What does it mean to you?
Sorry, what?
What does it mean to you when you see it? What does it mean for you?
It means the 33rd degree of Freemasonry and scumbaggery, and the universe trying to remind me of the importance of my work here, exposing said Freemasonry and scumbaggery.
You go, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're exposing it through your radio show?
Well, I'm trying to.
Yeah, I think you're doing a great job. Are there other things that you're doing to expose...
scumbaggery?
The dark side?
Oh, the dark side. Well, you know, Darth Vader tried to get me to come over to the dark side once, and I didn't, you know, because you got these choices in life. You can either sit back and go, all right, you know, stuff's really painful, and you go through these traumas, like getting busted by the cops, which completely shatters your perspective of reality, and you suddenly find out that the cops aren't nice, the politicians aren't honest, the employers you have don't actually give a frack about your future, and all the education system only further serves to dumb you down. It doesn't teach you critical thinking at all. It just teaches you to be critical of people that can actually still think, despite all being educated. And your entire reality collapses apart, and you spend the rest of your life, provided nobody, you know, provides some expertise or an extraordinary wisdom in order to help you come to terms with all this BS that you've been through and get over it so that you can actually live a long, healthy, and productive and otherwise non-scumbaggery life. You know, sometimes you just gotta give yourself a few projects, you know. It's like, what's my problem? You know what my problem is? I'm a decent man. And that's it. In an indecent time. And this is something that I think we've all gotta really, come to grips with, is that, when you're honest and you're open and you're friendly and you're generous, and people sometimes think that that's a bad thing. They have an aversion to this kind of behavior because they've been burned so many times before of people who took advantage of your honesty, people who went and told on you to authorities or something like that because you were so open and honest about these things that you do in your life. The employer who threatens to fire you because you're honest with them and you say, look, I'm not getting paid enough. I can't pay my bills on this, and then accuses you of having them over trying to have them over a barrel and so on and so forth. You know, these kind of things have changed me into what I believe I was meant to be. Somebody who seeks out truth tellers, who are good, decent people like me, who don't want to see the dominance of the psychopathic mentality spread out all over society, like scum covering a pond, choking out all life.
That's exactly
and all light.
That's really well said. It's pure evil, you know, and those of us who have a capacity still for love, you know, and for kindness and for authenticity and a concern for all of life, we are considered weird, strange, amoral, you know, as if we're a huge threat to the satanic infested reality that we live in. And it is satanically infested. And this is why there's so much suffering and so much deprivation and degradation of life, you know, because evil has gotten the upper hand for a while.
Yeah, well, and
it
tries to tell people that this evil's here to protect you. It's here to hold your hand and protect you from cradle to grave. And people don't realize that it's the hand you hold that is the hand that holds you down. It deprives you of your ability to create your own reality by having somebody else protect you from it. Okay? That's the problem that we have here, is we've become weak. We've become dependent. These are not things that we are doing that are evil, but that we are doing them because evil things are being done to us. We become afraid and respectful of authority. We expect whenever some problem happens, like you get bullied at school, instead of taking things into your own hands and sabotaging that bully so that they stop bullying you and solving the problem yourself, you're told to instead go get an authority figure who barely even punishes the bully. And in fact, in all likelihood, you'll be punished yourself. There was even an article that came out in an American newspaper where a boy was had a knife out, was about to stab another boy, and then another boy who was sitting there watching this got involved, got the knife off the kid, and okay. Saved that boy's life.
Wow.
And then he got suspended from school for, quote, violent behavior.
Oh, my God.
Defending yourself. As soon as that becomes not allowed, that's when you know that we're really fracked.
Well, that's happening big time in the United States, you know, with our government making a plan to take people's guns. People who have, who are, I guess, generally peaceful, they're not the ones who are criminals. It's the people in government who are criminals. And the people who work for the people in government, who are the, you know, psychopathic murderers running around the globe destroying other people's property and destroying other people's children and poisoning the land. The U.S. government is so dark at this point. There is no goodness that I can fathom right now within it. And I just want to back up, Vinny, to say something else about how they're preventing us from creating reality, because I think it's a very important point. One of the things that they do is they blast images at us all the time, and they get us to focus our attention on those images. And the images are often demonic. You see satanic rituals happening, for example, on...
We just lost him.
Oh, really? Well, let me finish my point. Hopefully, can you get him back?
I'll try.
All right. So the point being, we have satanic rituals happening at the Super Bowl, you know, at the Olympics, the opening ceremony of the Olympics, and every time our attention is on these demonic images or on these satanic rituals, we are contributing to that kind of evil emerging in our world, because our power is immense in terms of creating reality. And our power is often connected to images. What are you doing over there, Vinny? You creating a video as we talk?
Yes, I am. It's kind of how I do things. The thing is, we had a talk today with James Bartley. We were talking about gin and demonic possession, serial killers, psychopaths, aliens, abductions, that kind of thing, MK Ultra mind control programs. And what was interesting is he was saying that even if the problems that we were having on our radio show today were natural problems, you know, there are such enormous amounts of technical issues that take place when we talk about these things that we do. And that's why I always have like three backups. So right now I've got my webcam and Skype being recorded, as well as your webcam when you turn it on. And I have a tripod with a HD camera behind the computer screen, so it captures me and the LCD display screen that I have behind me with your video and the network, as well as in the other room I have a computer recording the live stream directly off freedomslips.com. So I have a backup of a backup of a backup. That way, if there's any video malfunctions or any audio malfunctions, I have two backups for those particular instances. And it happens quite often. You've got to be prepared, because this happens to a lot of people who come out and do lectures, allegedly, about these kind of topics, where there'll be unexplained camera malfunctions, and they'll have done this whole presentation, and it'll just be like all for nothing. That kind of thing can be a real pain, and that's why you've got to be prepared. You've got to be techno savvy in this game, and keep things backed up by yourself, because very few radio show hosts record their own show themselves and publish their own archives themselves directly after the radio show finishes, and that's what I do. And I've been doing it for years. I haven't need anybody else's archives at all.
I wish I knew how to turn a conversation like this into a video. I'm limited that way. Like, I even if I had the technology, I wouldn't know how to use it. Like, somebody has to teach me.
I can teach somebody to do everything that I do in a day, and have them be able to remember it easily enough to keep continuously doing it. And
going to be my teacher.
well, this is what I hope to be able to do one day soon, is actually do sort of Vinnie Eastwood tutorials. The difficulty is I'm using a Mac, and Macs have been made to be workhorses, and there are certain programs for Mac that you can't get on a PC.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm sure there are equivalent programs. It's just, if I was showing people how to do it, I'd be showing them how to do it with a Mac-based thing, and maybe I would want to learn how to do all of these things that I do on a PC as well, so I can show people how to do that, because I've done what very few people in this world have ever done. I've become a one-man media mogul facility.
Yeah.
So people have come over here and they've needed documentaries made, and I'll cut together a documentary of them in full quality with decent cutting of the slides and things of that nature in a night. It normally takes people 18 months.
Wow.
Well, 12 months if they're really Russian. Okay, this is the skill and talent that I have. I once cut together three full documentary kind of presentations in 3 days. Three in 3 days.
Wow.
Over one of them was 3 hours long, one of them was 90 minutes, and the other one was 2 hours. And getting them down to an edited fashion where the sound quality is good, all the slides of these presentations and everything is cut in just so, with multiple camera angles inserted into it as well, to do three documentaries like that in 3 nights. Cannot be done, right? That's what a lot of people would say. Can't be done. I did it.
I guess.
Okay.
Are you self-taught? You taught yourself how to do all this stuff, or somebody?
Yeah. Yeah. I always wanted to be a filmmaker, and I didn't start being a filmmaker until I listened to Alex Jones, really, and decided that I couldn't just sit around just listening to somebody else give me the news, not when my country has no equivalent to that. Has nobody out there supporting the activists, you know? For the Fluoride Action Network New Zealand, I've done a number of videos. If you go to my YouTube channel, and you can search pretty much any topic, and there will be substantial amount of coverage on virtually any topic you can think of. The videos are tags, you know, whatever you want. Fluoride, aliens. There's no real holds barred. I'm not afraid to talk about certain things. I don't prefer to talk about certain other things. I just like to listen to everything and everybody, because everybody's got a story, and we're all being fracked in some way or the other by the New World Order. So if you stop covering some things because you prefer to cover other things because you think people are crazy, will think that you're crazy because you cover these strange and weird and wacky, wonderful things, then those people are actually the crazy ones. Those people are the mind-controlled ones. You know? Put your hands up if you don't think at any point you've been subjected to mind control techniques. All of those people that just raised their hand right there are the ones that are obviously under mind control still.
Exactly right. You know, I had somebody on my show Sunday, a beautiful couple, Bonnie and John Mitchell. I recommend you interview them, Vinny, on your show, because they were talking about sigil magic through television and mnemonic mind control, meaning when you watch TV, especially sports, they show these circles all the time, sometimes with numbers where they count you up and count you down to bring you deep into the trance, and the numbers pop out the middle of the circle and then pop back in. So these are techniques that are being used, that these satanic families use on their own children to put them in deep states of altered reality in order to create alters and deep trauma-based mind control. But we're all being, anybody that watches television is subjected not only to the mnemonic circles constantly, you know, as you're watching TV, these little circles in the corner or the big circles on the screen, but also there's sigil magic where they pump these symbols at you, and then demonic energies come through the symbols. So sometimes they're on our food. Many times they're on the television screen.
Well, and all of these symbols have power in their own resonance field. You know, there's a work of this Japanese dude who put like words and things on water, like love, and came out with these really beautiful geometric ice crystals. And he came out like with fear, and it comes out with these really ugly, blotchy, scary-looking ice crystals. So water really holds all that frequency field just in words and symbols. And so if you've got those words and symbols flashing on a screen in front of you, your subconscious picks it up, and because you're like 70% water, it actually changes you.
Yes.
And when I watch films, I'm not entertaining myself. When I watch news, I'm not listening to the news. Okay? When I'm doing these things, I'm analyzing enemy communications.
Right on.
Okay?
Yes.
I take screenshots of these things that I see. I see a Masonic floor, black and white tiles, screenshot, name of the film, go on to the next thing. Ooh, do I see a pyramid all-seeing eye in the background in that picture there behind the guy? Screenshot. Goes in the. I've got a whole folder now of screenshots from mainstream US films loaded with Masonic symbolism. Now, Freda X from The Middle Chamber has been in, I think, 9 different occult orders. He has achieved really great heights in the circles, to the point where a lot of scumbags, you know, lower level Masons and so on and so forth, have to be subservient to him. He's been down into these old libraries that nobody's been into, nobody's looked at these books for like 150, 200 years. These old, musty tomes, like you're in a Raiders of the Lost Ark kind of movie. He's actually been down there in these places and looked at this old, dark, occulted mysticism that these people and all of their secret societies were based upon. And what he told me is that the reason why Hollywood is so saturated with this symbolism is because it's absolutely 100% a deliberate effort by the secret societies to prepare people subliminally for a Masonic revolution, for a new world order, one where they'll come to worship these sigils that they previously never even noticed that they existed. You know?
No, I don't stress that a Masonic reality is a Luciferian reality.
Yeah.
People need to get this. It's a demonic energy that we are working, that is working against us. Because I'm not working with it, okay? But it's working against us, and it's got most of the population in its grips. So the more of us that are talking about it, the better. And I wonder, Vinny, do you write books? Because putting all those images that you've gathered in a book, to leave that for future generations, you know, because we need to conquer. And one way to make sure this never happens again is to keep a record of how they...
Well, this is why everything that I say on radio and everything that I do on video is recorded, put it on a hard drive somewhere, as well as uploaded in several different places online where people can get at it. Okay, and what I want to do is make a movie, a documentary of this, because you know what it reminds me of is... Loose Change. Hidden Empires. Frack. I forget which documentary it was that Jason Burmis made.
I want to give you a heads up. We're going to have to go to break in a minute. So just preface anything you're going to say with that in mind, okay? Go ahead.
Okay. Preface everything you're going to say with the 1 minute to spare. Okay. essentially. When the word New World Order is repeated to you 1,000 times, okay, repeated to you 1,000 times, all of these different clips and things like that you got in there, boom, suddenly it's reality to you. I'm going to make a documentary where I put 1,000 pieces of Masonic imagery in front of your eyes inside of an hour and a half that you will be unbelievably convinced that it is deliberate, that they are putting this Masonic symbolism in every single movie you've probably ever seen. And we're going to talk about more of that after the break.
What's that? That was really well done. So I really think you should do it, because in addition to YouTube, where else do you post your videos?
They go up on the funnyeastwoodshow.com.